All right, let's move on. Our next guest is Steve Anderson, and I think both Mark and I are looking forward to talking with Steve Anderson because this is an area that are very near and dear to what we do, Mark. But Steve is founder and executive director of openmedia.ca, and open media has and the word here has become a bit of a living legend, and Steve Anderson is the force behind that living legend. And I'm curious, Steve, and I want to invite you to join in on this discussion here at Roadkill, and Mark Hashek here. You have been one busy man over the last few years.
Yeah, that's definitely true, and I kind of want to use that term in our About Us page now.
Yeah.
Living legend. It's a good brand to go with.
Make sure you give credit to Roadkill Radio, okay?
I will. I'll link to you guys because I can do that on the internet.
Now, Steve, I think a lot of people, and Mark and I kind of had this discussion last week because we had this subject scheduled to chat about, but you were busy with the CRTC hearings.
Yep.
I think a lot of people take for granted the freedom of the internet, and through your open media and what you were doing with Stop the Meter campaign, as you brought in the realization that this freedom is kind of precariously perched here in Canada.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, the big telecom companies in Canada, you know, Rogers and Shaw and Telus, and a couple others, they want to have control of the medium. They want to turn it into more of a TV like space where they can kind of control what goes on, and they can monetize it and extract more revenue from it. So there's different ways that they try and do that. They're trying to create a sort of more closed version of the internet through IPTV. They're also making the internet more expensive by internet usage fees or metering the internet, and that was what the groundswell came together around. They also slow down certain online services as well that and compete with their TV services and things like that. So that's pretty much, you know, what I've been doing for the last couple of years, has been trying to stop them from controlling the medium and making it more expensive to use. And I mean, we stop them from doing the worst of the kind of slowing down of services about 2 years ago, and the CRTC said you can't do that. And you know, it's a fight that kind of continues, but we had a pretty big milestone there. And then they proceeded to do this usage-based billing thing where they were kind of trying to make it more expensive to use online competitors and independent distributors in that way. So it's sort of an ongoing situation, I guess.
I want to talk a little bit about Stop the Meter campaign and the groundswell that you experienced over that, because you know, I, as a person who gets to go and speak to large groups of people all across the country, when you talk about internet freedom, which is one of the things I try to slide in as often as I can to my presentations, because people really don't consider that as a threat. They just think, oh, well, we've always had it, we always will. But with Stop the Meter, you really brought that to the attention of people. What were the direct issues? When you talk about internet service providers, everybody assumes, oh, it's Telus and Shaw, and they want to give us this service, but that's not really the case.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the first thing is, I would say, one thing I like to say to people who think that, who kind of take this stuff for granted, is keep in mind that we've had open mediums in the past. Radio started as a much more open medium than it is now, and it was kind of enclosed by commercial interests, and then now it's kind of breaking open again with the internet. And so, you know, the openness of the web is not something that will necessarily stay that way, and you know, people, human beings, have lived through open mediums before that they've seen enclosed, so it's something that we have to continually defend if we care about the opportunities that it makes available to us. But in terms of Stop the Meter specifically, like, so the big ISPs want to make the internet more expensive, and they want to charge us per gigabyte. So similar to kind of how like a smartphone data plan works, but okay, even like but more like so when per,
wait,
per
wait,
like
wait.
Small
Steve,
unit
Steve,
of use.
Steve, so now I'm going to have my discussion that I have with my eTalk guys, okay, my tech guys. When you talk about ISPs, you're talking about internet service providers.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, sorry. So yeah, the companies that bring the internet into our homes and workplaces, so your Rogers and Shaw and Telus and Bell, they want to start charging us per gigabyte. So, you know, if you download a movie, you know, it might be, I don't know how many gigs it might be, but they'll charge you $5 per gigabyte, let's say.
Hmm.
And so at the end of the day, what it meant was they'd be double dipping. So they'd be charging you for the capacity that you use, they'd be charging you the standard rates that they do now, and then on top of that, they charge you these new usage fees. And the problem with that is that, I mean, number one, other countries are making the internet cheaper, not more expensive. Two, there's no connection between the fees that they were trying to push on us and the actual cost. So it was just that they were trying to gouge us because the cost is dropping in terms of providing the internet for us, but if you really looked at the cost of providing a gigabyte of data, it would probably cost the provider roughly somewhere between a cent and maybe 8 cents. And they were talking about charging $5 per gigabyte, which would be hugely expensive, but also, you know, a ridiculously huge markup. And so that was what the problem was. And they wanted to not only do that, but they also wanted to force their competitors to use that same pricing model. So basically, Canadians would not have a choice. We'd all have to pay these new fees, and, you know, it would be bad for innovation, it would be bad for free expression, and you know, it would be bad for pretty much anything that you value about the internet.
So, Steve, what's the status of that campaign by the big internet service providers? What has happened to their plan?
Yeah, well, it's kind of, for me, you know, somebody's been working on this for a while. I mean, we've had some small victories, but this one's pretty inspiring in terms of what Canadians were able to do through this. So, about roughly 500,000 people signed this petition against these new usage fees. And I think that's
so easily, just to back up for a second. So the ISPs were going to the CRTC with these proposals. Is that right?
Yeah, so they were starting to impose them themselves, and they went to the CRTC, and they said, let us impose this on all of our competitors as well. And the CRTC said, sure, we'll endorse that. And then that's when people got really upset.
Okay, Steve, can I just back up? Because I want you to get to Mark's question, because I think it's really important. But who made the CRTC god over the Internet?
Well, I mean, it's just I mean, not to get too policy wonkish, but
go as wonkish as you want.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm sort of a reluctant policy wonk. I come at this from a media maker, citizen perspective, but now I'm becoming more policy wonkish as I go, it seems. But the Telecommunications Act, which is legislation put forward by Parliament, basically empowers the CRTC to be responsible for regulating the telecommunications market and specifically the internet market. So
really,
so they can't go in and say, you know, Bell, you have to right now anyways, you can't charge this fee. But what they can do is say you have to give competitors a fair chance, or they can say, hey, sure, go ahead and force all of your competitors to adopt the same pricing scheme. So they have that power to do that. So they can, in a way, it's not, you know, the CRTC as an independent institution that is kind of like a honest broker wouldn't be a problem, but what is a problem is that the CRTC seems to have been captured by the telecommunications industry, so they're making really unfortunate decisions, and this is, you know, a clear example of that.
So that would be an example of collusion, then, would it not? If you have all the big ISPs agreeing that they would charge these fees, wouldn't they be breaking the law at that point in time?
Well, not really, because it's not overt. Like, I think that there's very limited competition in terms of like the big players, and that they certainly do collude in a way, but I don't think they do officially, or at least we don't know about it. So there's no evidence that, you know, Bell and Rogers and Telus sat together in a room and said, we'll set our prices to X, and then you do the same. Okay. It just seems like one of them moves and the other one... So it, basically they're competing to see who can out-gouge the consumer rather than seeing who can provide a better service, because that's what happens when you have a uncompetitive market like that.
Okay, well, answer me this, though, Steve, because in the hearings, I mean, you've just come from a round of hearings just recently last week with the CRTC, and I want to use Mark's term because I like it. You know, I have a hard time envisioning these major players as far as the internet service providers arguing with anybody, and we'll just hypothetically throw out a scenario there. Rogers wants to, you know, increase its usage. Did Telus or Shaw or anybody else in Bell go, no, 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 we want to keep it cheap for our people?
Yes. Well, I mean, there are, you know, I don't want to totally paint them all with the same brush. There are some internet service providers that are better than others. For example, Telus on this issue and also on that issue of slowing down access to services tends to be a bit better than the others.
But that's good to know, and people should know. Our audience should know. If Telus is doing right by all of us, they should have those facts, and they should be aware, and they should be encouraged to say thank you to this service provider.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that's definitely true. I think that, and there is, like, there is movement within the ISPs to make things better. And I would say since our campaign, they are, you know, starting to back off a bit on these fees because they're afraid that we're gonna get the CRTC to overrule them, which we will. So they're slowly backing off in a way. Like, Shaw has backed off significantly from where it used to be. But they still want to add new fees. And I would say, like, the, you know, for your listeners, if you really want to support, an internet service provider that is in favor of the open and affordable internet, I would go to, an independent ISP, and one locally is, TechSavvy. Because they're independent, and basically they have been alongside us in arguing for a more affordable internet, and that's the way that they're gaining customers, so we should reward them.
We're gonna get you to repeat that before we let you go.
Sure.
I want to step back again just for a second. So, from what I understand talking to you right now, there hasn't been any legislation put forth by the federal government to prevent this from happening. So it's just a case of, groups like you, like your group, kicking up a stink and, the big ISPs backing off, waiting in the wings, and then maybe trying this again. Is that kind of where we are right now?
Yes and no. I mean, the CRTC is will make a ruling on competitive pricing rules.
When will that take place?
In the next 3 months.
Okay.
So based on this hearing that we just had.
Yeah.
And so...
Where was that hearing? Ottawa?
It was in, technically Gatineau, but, which is just across from Ottawa.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that decision will be, important because it will let those independent ISPs, if we win this, and I hope we will, it'll let those independent ISPs like TechSavvy give you access to, more affordable non-metered internet. If we lose it, then all the ISPs will, start imposing those new fees.
Okay.
So that's a big one. But in terms of beyond that, in terms of pushing further to create a more affordable internet, because even before this, we had some of the highest prices for internet access in the industrialized world. So we were already kind of facing a problem before.
How do we compare to the States?
To the States, we pay more. Not like this. The States is kind of one of the, it's falling behind the rest of the world as well, so it's
right.
Not the best comparative, but we do pay more than the U.S. Not a huge amount. Like
can
10%.
You give me an example of great disparity between Canadian prices and prices in another country?
Yeah, sure. A really good example is the U.K., because a few years ago they had like really poor internet access and speeds. They're kind of the laughingstock of the industrialized world. And then they made some changes, and they really empowered independent ISPs, and they kind of stem the power of the big telecom companies, and in some cases broke up some of their divisions, and really made some positive visionary steps. And now they have faster speeds than us, and they pay about half of what we pay.
Half. So your bill that you get every month would be roughly half if you lived
in
London.
Just over $20, and you'd have faster speeds.
Unreal. Okay.
And they have like a whole bunch of different competitors. Like in Vancouver, we might have you could try TechSavvy, and there's also Shaw and Telus, but that's about it. And TechSavvy just came into the market recently, like in the last month or two, and it's only because of our campaign that they figure they should make a go of it. But in the UK, you might have like a dozen different competitors, and of course, then the prices are really low, and they give you decent customer service, which I'm sure you've all experienced. The big telecom customer service in this country is pretty
brutal.
Insulting and horrible. And then really, that's I think why half a million people signed this petition, is that people had just had enough. They're like, okay, you have horrible service. You're already gouging me, and now you want to add these new fees? Like, I think people just said enough is enough, and we're going to draw a line in the sand on this one.
Listen, I could tell you a story about sitting on my couch for 3 hours, but I'm not going to, with my phone in my hand and a gun in the other hand, but I'm not going to get into that right now.
You don't have a gun.
That's right, I have a gun. Yeah. I want to switch gears quickly, Siva. The Harper conservatives are seeking to clamp down on the Internet, I believe in the name of national security.
Yep.
What can you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, they're proposing a set of what they're calling lawful access laws, and basically, they're proposing warrantless surveillance of internet activity that will be invasive and costly. So basically, they'll allow a range of authorities to, without a warrant, get access to our personal information on the internet. And
when you say a range of authorities, you're talking CSIS, the RCMP, that type of thing?
Yeah, and police officers. So it goes pretty low level.
Well,
a police officer could listen to your radio show and say, I feel uneasy about that host, and then they could go to the
ISP.
Which
happens all the time, by the way.
Yeah, and they could, you guys are pretty edgy, so they go to the ISP and say, hey, give me all the information about that person. Give me their email address. Give me their Facebook ID and their IP and all that stuff. And then the ISP, if this law passes, they will have no choice but to pass that on, and there will be no oversight, there will be no warrant, and you wouldn't even know that it had happened.
What's the status of that legislation?
The government, the Conservatives during the election, committed to passing it within the first 100 days of sitting of Parliament, so probably within, it could be as early as September or as late as November.
Where they'll introduce it as a bill.
That's right. So we need to stop that bill from going forward. And we happen to have another petition that you can go to at stopspying.ca. And we're trying to raise awareness about that, and we're speaking with MPs and other parties and trying to build opposition against that. And I'm hopeful that, we didn't really talk about this, but the Conservatives came around on that internet metering issue. They're the ones that forced the CRTC to review its rules on this. And so I'm hopeful that they'll do that again. And, if we get the kind of numbers that we got before or something close to that, I think that that they'll rethink this, because, there's just power in numbers, right?
Who were the MPs that were vocal on that issue for you, Steve?
Well, the main MP who is in favor of it is Vic Taze, who's the public safety minister. So he's someone that we're trying to work on, and we're gonna get people riled up in his riding to see if that can convince him. The people on the other side, Charlie Angus has been really outspoken about this, he's with the NDP, he's the industry critic, I believe.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth May has also spoken out about this issue and is on side. We haven't spoken with the Liberals yet, but I think they'll also come on side.
You know, it's interesting because we just finished an interview with Professor Mauser from Simon Fraser University talking about how they're abolishing the gun registry. And part of the criticism about the gun registry was the invasiveness into the lives of law-abiding
sure.
citizens.
Yep.
And now we have them moving, and maybe they want to just keep all these police officers that were employed with the gun registry over to this area. But, you know,
yep.
If they're – sorry, I had a facetious moment. You know, you have your wonky bureaucratic times. I have my facetious moment, Steve.
It's a fair connection to me.
I think that makes perfect sense to me. They're going to have the bureaucratic infrastructure already for the registry, and they'll just take – we'll gain one freedom back, but we'll lose a huge one.
Well, and probably even a more important one that affects far more people. And I'm wondering if this is sort of a weird political – trade-off, right? You know, if the conservatives are, as they say, very interested in, you know, privacy issues and keeping law-abiding citizens, you know, with the privileges of living in a free and democratic nation, then they're going to have to put those words to this issue, in my books anyway. You can't have one with the other, and there has to be some continuity of the language of the message. And this defeats that purpose if, in fact, they abolish the gun registry for those reasons and then bring in, you know, even a more tyrannical type of approach and invasive approach into the lives of Canadians.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it does. Their approach definitely does lack continuity. I mean, if you even look at the census, like the reason, part of the reason for scrapping the census was it was too invasive. And, you know, here they are allowing police officers and who knows who else to get access to your personal information without you even knowing that it had happened, and without a warrant, without oversight, and they're also telling, you know, they're going to force the internet service providers to install this expensive surveillance technology they don't have yet. You know, it costs millions of dollars that we'll have to pay for, and that surveillance technology, it's not, you know, it's not foolproof. I mean, there's all kinds of data leaks, and there's security implications with our private data and our financial data, and, you know, other countries that have done this have had all kinds of problems with that.
Well,
so it's really, it doesn't make a lot of sense in terms of their general message.
Not to mention the concerns that are being raised over the provincial government's move to, you know, citizens at the center data collection. Are you familiar with what they were doing here provincially, Steve?
No, I'm not familiar. I'm not too familiar with that issue. A couple of people have raised it with me and drawn that connection, but I don't know it too well.
Oh, and then we go right down to kindergarten, where they're collecting data on families, courtesy of UBC, you know, infiltrating little five-year-old minds and all the rest of it. I think it's time Canadians kind of woke up to this. You know, we are not a herd of cash cows. We need not to have transmitters and GPSs attached to us. And, you know, this issue. Now, have you seen the draft of this legislation, Steve? Is there something that's in a physical form that we can put out to our audience here?
Sure. There's the legislation as it existed before the election, the one they were pushing, which the new legislation will look a lot like that.
Okay.
And so if you go to openmedia.ca/resources, you can find it there. Or I'm happy to send it over to you.
We will track it down, and I'll make sure it goes out with one of our news items here, Steve.
I just want to say, like, I think the key thing here is that other countries are moving to make the internet more open and ubiquitous and faster, and having all kinds of, you know, there's all kinds of exciting innovations going on because of that, and then this sort of making the internet more expensive and more, I don't know, surveillance
invasive.
Focused. It really takes us in the wrong direction. So, I do hope that we can turn this around.
Steve, before we let you go, can you tell us about, direct us to that internet service provider here in British Columbia, TechSavvy, is it? Is that right? TechSavvy.com?
Yes, TechSavvy Solutions. I think it's TechSavvy.com.
And
like I said, they've been right alongside us for years, literally, basically taking a pro-citizen approach to things.
And stopspying.ca, people can find what there?
You can find the petition against that invasive surveillance legislation.
The federal legislation.
Yep.
Good stuff. All right, Steve, we will do this again, and I would just like to say thank you on behalf of so many people who don't even know how tirelessly you work on their behalf, but this is good stuff, and certainly I appreciate your vigilance, if I dare use that term, and watching the government.
Absolutely. Great stuff.
Well, yeah, thanks a lot for having me, and, you know, it's everyone kind of spreading the word.
Yeah.
Online that's made this stuff happen. So thanks.
Great work. Openmedia.ca, and you can keep track of Steve and all the good work that organization is doing. They're a presence at the CRTC hearings. I know I will be watching for this legislation to be introduced. Maybe we can thwart its introduction. You know, I do have a few contacts.
I think we should be all over it. This is something Roadkill needs to be on.
This needs to be roadkill. Let's see, what cactus shall we hang this one on, Mark? I do believe that. And you know, one of the key essential ingredients for people in a free democracy where we have to move people is to keep our ability to communicate with each other without being surveyed by the government, free and open and confidential. And certainly any direction that would change those factors in this nation should immediately put your antennas up, regardless of what political stripe you choose to dress in on that occasion.
Amen.
There you go. Well, my goodness, we've abolished guns, but we've traded in that bureaucracy for a more invasive issue.
That was such an ingenious kind of observation, because you're probably not too far from the truth.
Isn't that the scary part?
The boxes of gun registry data are heading out the back door, in will come the equipment to surveil the internet in the front door of the same office in Ottawa.
Actually, I don't think the boxes are going to go. I think they're just going to be recategorized. You know, they'll just stay there because they might need this information for this next little stint, right?
Maybe.
And, you know, the issues with these kinds of things, Mark, what concerns me most is that, you know, bureaucracy tends to stay the same. You know, every once in a while we get to elect a new MP or a new MLA, but the bureaucrats remain. And some of these ideas, and I know through my work, I've been doing this way too long, you know, they kind of percolate under the surface for so long, and then suddenly they're being given a stage, even
yes.
though they, you know, it was 15 years ago that they were given some genesis of birth that brought them into at least an idea to be considered. And then you mm-hmm. watch as they progress. I do think that, you know, we have to be very careful, and our liberties, even with the cameras and all the rest of it, people, we talked a little bit about citizens at the center, data collection. You know, once your data is collected, and I know this from my work with apprehension cases of families now, because it's becoming intergenerational, their attacks on families. You know, families I helped 25 years ago, now those children are being involved with, because why? They received services as children. So, you know, something's very wrong here. And when you have those feelings of, you know, this isn't right, then we need to find a way to correct those things. And it makes for strange bedfellows, because, you know, the BC Civil Liberties Association, I agree with on so much as far as their invasion of my privacy, but they're way out to lunch on a whole bunch of different subject matters. So, you know, it's very interesting, all the various dynamics, politically speaking, of people and who's involved in what issues and all the rest of it.